All right, we are back in session, please. David Squires, Finance Director, your report.
Just a few items. If you're not aware, if your committee meetings, our auditors are in occupation in a small side of the conference room, and they'll be there for another, at least another week. We'll be bringing forward two bond resolutions through Budget Committee shortly. One is to finance the improvements at the Solid Waste Center, the retrofitting the facility to accommodate the single stream recycling and the changes in the contract. There's an expectation that we'll receive a grant that will fund about half the project cost, but the cash flow requirements are we're getting authorization for the total cost of the improvements is about $2.5 million. In addition, we also a bond resolution to do the improvements for the building on West Martin Luther King. We're asking authorization for up to $750,000 because we don't know what the improvements are at this point. But I'm assured by IRL that they won't be anywhere near that, but we need to get this moving. So, and the final point I wanted to bring to your attention is I handed on your desk a list of the properties we visited last week in our tour of properties that are exposed to foreclosure. And I wanted to bring to your attention that there are currently three or four owner-occupied properties. Mm-hmm. My expectation is at least two of them probably will not be able to pay the taxes because of circumstances. The amount is too much for them. All the properties that are occupied are in the town of Dryden or the village of Freeville. But the other side of the story is, there are still, I think there's this list, 16 properties here. I expect about almost half of them to be redeemed. I've been having conversations daily with owners who will come forward. Some of them say they have contracts on their property and they're trying to wait to the closing, but they'll pay before if they have to. But the biggest concern is those properties and that are occupants. We had this auction scheduled on June 15th. We've also been asked to include in there disposal of two properties that the district attorney believes they will get title to as a result of drug seizures. And they want us to liquidate the properties so they can pay off the entities that participated in this joint task force drug seizure, which I think the arrest probably occurred a year or two ago, big marijuana raid. But there's two houses, one in Caroline and one in Danby, both of which we looked at seem to be very marketable. And if we do get title to them, we will offer them it for sale, and then they distribute the proceeds to the way that drug forfeiture monies are shared. That's my report.
Will.
David, can you explain just the columns that are here? They're not identified, but it's
Well, the amount of taxes that are owed there, those represent the tax liens, total tax liens that are the foreclosure is based upon. The X column represents the number of years of taxes due, and generally they're going to be 2 or 3 years. Residential properties have 3 years, vacant land and commercial 2 years. Then there's the address, if there is a municipal address, the description taken off the assessment rolls of what it is, and then the other column is assessed value. And finally, just little notes about what we saw. Like one of them says legal challenge. Those properties that say legal challenge, there's an interesting situation because they are involved with the town of Enfield and the wind farm. The owner was trying to put together a wind farm. And it has to do with The properties were formerly under a agriculture or forestry management, and because when the properties were bought, there's certain conditions that have to be maintained, and if they're not, then the owner is subject to having all the benefits that accrued in the prior period recaptured. And so we're being, in a foreclosure action, we were, there's a legal challenge to our foreclosure because they believe these amounts are outrageous because they, you know, and it's a point of law. And so we were proceeding, and maybe that the county attorney could advise whether that will be resolved anytime soon.
That should be resolved. I mean, the whole issue with that is like DEC, not the county, determined that they owed a lot more money than they want to pay. And they're challenging it as part of the assessment proceeding, but I think that's an improper way to challenge it. So we actually made a motion to dismiss that, and I should be granted. I don't think that's the proper way to challenge DEC's determination that they're no longer eligible for the forestry exception.
All right. Thank you very much, David. Are there any motions? I would just say maybe we can still finish by 8:15. Are there any motions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? All right. And the consent agenda first, Christine, to appoint Christine Shaw to the Environmental Management Committee. Resolution A, acceptance of grant from New York State Office of Emergency Management to update the Tompkins County Multi-Jurisdictional All-Hazard Mitigation Plan. And Resolution B, authorization to accept an award of a grant for the benefit of the drug courts of Tompkins County. I get it. Carol moves, or Frank seconds. All in favor of the consent agenda, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Thank you. That's unanimous. I would like to ask for Arel's sake that we jump over facilities for a second and go to capital plan review. There's no report. We haven't met since the last legislature meeting, but I would ask you to take a look at Resolution C. And I'll ask Dooley, the vice chair of the committee.
Resolution C, appropriation from contingent fund, additional funding for center of government study. I'll move it.
And Mike seconds. Any discussion?
I actually wanted to ask whether it would be acceptable on line 34 to indicate that the $1,500 estimate for in-kind support be described as included in the Public Works Department's existing 2011 county operating budget.
So to insert Public Works Department's?
I think that's where it is, yeah, rather than just the 2011 operating budget of the county.
Okay, before the word existing, in other words, is that what you mean?
Yes, before the word existing.
Okay.
If that's agreeable.
Is that okay with Mike?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That is done. Jim?
I'm going to support this resolution, obviously, but I think it's inappropriate on line 34 that number, that dollar amount is even there. If I'm a department head and we decide that the legislature decides to tell me to do something, then I'm going to do it within the salary I'm paid. I'm not going to be able to break out. It's part of my job. And so I'm not going to be able to say it's going to cost you $1,500 out of my salary to do that. Because I think by doing this, you really have opened the door to everything that we do. Someone will say, well, how much of that time, how much of your salary is being spent on that? And that's not the way we want to do business. You get paid a salary to be a department head, and you do what the legislature asks you to do within that parameter. And, you know, I would hope that we do not do this again in any future resolution. I think it's insulting, actually.
Do I hear an amendment in there?
Yeah, I would make a motion to move 33 and 34 out of the resolution. Line 33 and 34 out.
Seconded by Frank. Is there any discussion? Dooley.
Well, this budget had to be negotiated with the responder. And what hasn't been reported in the resolution was what those negotiations consisted of. And it was not originally, I believe, the committee's intent to have Arel take time away from other things to do this. And there were committee members who wanted to see the fact that we were now contributing in-kind services to keep the cost as low as it is, which is pretty high. And so it seemed not that this was a precedent-setting thing, but it seemed appropriate to have it in this particular resolution. So I won't support your amendment.
If I could comment, in a project that is in the neighborhood of $125,000, to say that a rail spending $1,500 worth of time is going to keep the project cost down, that seems really out of scale. I would agree with Jim, but I would perhaps suggest you could still leave the sense of the facilities manager is contributing in kind of support by simply leaving the lines but taking out currently estimated at $1,500. Yeah, maybe just taking out those words so that it said we'll be contributing in-kind support to this project or included in existing budget, which still leaves the, I mean, if that's would help other people support that.
Oh, well,
I'm not gonna make that. I'm just.
I'll stick with what I said.
Okay. So the motion is motion to amend is to take out lines 33 and 34. Any other discussion? All in favor of that amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, that has a majority, but it fails because, Jonathan, we need 8 to do anything?
Right.
Okay. Will.
Okay, I would amend it much as you proposed, Martha, which is that we remove the reference to the money but acknowledge the in-kind support. So it would read, the county facilities manager will be contributing in-kind support to this project, period.
Okay. Is there a second for that? Pat seconds that. Okay. Any discussion? Frank?
Yes, I want to go back to something Jim began with. The title with regard to the position that this is pertaining to is County Facilities Manager. Will we now be setting a precedent to ask that commissioners also indicate how much time they're spending? Because if that's the case, I would gladly support adding Will's amendment back in, because there are some commissioners that I certainly would love to hear how much time they spend doing things in various areas. So I'd like some clarity. Please don't overlook my question. Can I have clarification on that? Will this extend to commissioners as well?
Is it an answer, Pat? Or another comment?
Well, I was going to answer a different part of your comment, I think, Frank, because this, the way I understand what Will is suggesting, there's nothing about the amount of time or money. It's just saying that in-kind support will be provided, the way I heard Will say it. So, and I thought I heard you say it as if you thought it said how much. His language only says county facilities manager will be contributing in-kind support, period.
That's to all. This project.
Right. And without that, the amendment that Will has suggested, the other motion failed. So
I understand.
The language
just
is still in there.
Hold on, Frank. Peter?
I want to call a question on this waiting matter.
Is there a second? Mike seconds that. All in favor of calling the question on this amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed? One, two, three, four. Well, we're still talking about it. That fails. All right, Frank.
Just a quick follow-up. Pat, thanks for trying to clarify that, but the words in kind don't imply support. They, in fact, state that there is time devoted to it. And I think that in the future, beginning immediately, I'll begin asking any commissioner how much time they're devoting to it and divide those number of hours into their salary, because I want to know that. And I think that's what this is implying. That's why I seconded Jim's amendment to take it out entirely. I think we're opening up a complete can of worms here.
Carol?
Yeah, I agree with this amendment, and I agree with the whole principle of not asking our staff to calculate to the tenth of a minute or whatever how much time they're devoting to this or that. I think our staff is under incredible pressure, and we're asking them to do more and more with less and less, and I don't want to see them spending their time, the precious little time that they have, sitting there calculating the percentage of in-kind support and the dollar amount commensurate with that. I do think it's noteworthy that there is in-kind support going in. So I will support this.
Peter.
Just to answer Frank's, if he proposes an amendment to ask for the amount of time that a commissioner is going to spend on that in any way, I will oppose it. And I see nothing about this that establishes any kind of a precedent to do that, since the dollar amount isn't there.
Just a minute, Frank. My reading of this, especially if it's amended as Will is suggesting, is a statement of the obvious.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to put on every grant that comes through, yes, the public health commissioner or the DSS commissioner is going to be spending some time on this project, that's fine. Let's do it. I don't see where it's really a problem.
I am in complete agreement with what you just said. In kind doesn't imply that they're spending time. They are spending time. And what other service could it be, Peter, than time if it's in kind? What are they supplying? If they're supplying supplies, that's something entirely different.
My point, Frank, was it does. We can put this in any resolution that you want. I don't think there's any problem. Dooley and then Pat, and maybe we can vote on this.
Well, this was not my idea, but I understood a colleague who thought this was important to put in. And the reason I'm continuing to support the full language is that, of course, Arel is our facilities director, puts in some time by definition. But in order to remove the time that a consultant would have to spend getting up to speed, in the same way Arel is already up to speed, the consultant would cost us a lot more than the $1,500 that Arel already has invested in this, knowing about all of our work. So the $1,500 does not equate to the amount of money his devoting extra time to this project would be if it took a consultant's staff person to get up to speed.
Pat.
That's why I don't think this is precedent setting, and that's why I think that there was an effort to quantify the amount of his time that was being taken away from other things that we also wanted him to be working on. And I won't say any more about it, but that was the understanding.
Pat.
I agree with you, Frank, that it would be better to take it out. I supported Jim's original motion.
Thank you.
The only problem I have is since we put the motion on the table, the motion failed. I don't think we can just propose the same motion all over again, even though I would prefer to see it fail. So I'm looking for a way to get past this that is something we can support, and I don't see how what else we can do procedurally at this point. We can't just eliminate it from what I could see, unless Jonathan can suggest a way that we can do that.
Mike?
It's already failed.
I'll second that.
What?
Mike has called the question. Okay, Mike has called the question. Carol seconded. All in favor of calling a question on Will's amendment? We're talking about Will's amendment. Calling a question. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed. Opposed to calling the question. 1, 2. Somebody didn't vote. Okay. Let's say 8-3. All right, the question is called. The amendment is removing the language currently estimated to budget so that it shall read, whereas the county facilities manager will be contributing in-kind support to this project. Correct? All in favor of that amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 2. Not, that passes 9-2. All right, Carol?
I have a question on another matter. I would like to know who was on the selection panel mentioned on line 24.
Aurel? You want to tell us about the selection panel?
Myself, Joe Mariana, County Administrator, our Assistant Director of Facilities, Bob O'Loughlin, and Cheryl Nelson. So four of us, and Dewey actually sat in on the interviews as well. All the legislators were invited. Dewey did attend.
Thank you.
Are we ready to vote on the amended motion? All in favor, please. Short roll call. Thank you.
Ms. Keeper?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Would anyone like to be recorded as no? That's unanimous. All right. Thank you very much, Aurel. That's it for Capital Plan Review. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
The committee will be meeting this Friday at 9:30 in the morning, Friday, May 6th. And I will just alert you to the fact that at our June meeting, I believe it's not cast in stone, but we are setting up the groundbreaking for the recycling, new recycling center will be the same day and time, will overlap with the F&I meeting, so that you're all invited to on June 3rd, which would be in late morning then, is where that would place that.
Okay, great. Thank you. Frank?
Carol, I would appreciate it if you perhaps could get to Bill Sesney and anyone else in the department. I was reminded by a comment Mike made on the privilege of the floor about the recent tornado touchdown in Danby. We had several county crews out there to help out, and it was very much appreciated. Thanks.
Thank you, Frank. All set. Next committee, Government Operations, Mike Lane, Chair.
Well, we met on April 21st. We talked about the process for the final formation of the districting commission. And we have received well over 20 applications at this point. We will be having a special meeting on Thursday, May 5th, at 10 o'clock, the old jail. And we will be reviewing those applications in executive session. I'm inviting any member of the legislature that would like to come. We would certainly encourage people who are interested in looking at those applications or discussing them to come into that executive session with us. The committee also decided that once we have narrowed that down somewhat, we will be conducting interviews of potential appointees. As far as the time of that meeting, I know we've been having some folks that are taking issue with timing of meetings. We tried very hard to look at various times for this, but our first priority was to get all of our Government Operations Committee people there, and really that was the only time that worked because of schedules for them. So if it's not the best time for other people, please comment. Please ask us about how far we've gone after that meeting. There'll still be time to hear from you if you can't come.
Thank you, Brett. Thank you very much, Mike.
I also want to, well, I'll talk about the resolution in a second.
Okay, Will.
Okay, relevant. Mike, remind us how many committee members that you're aiming to have, or that we decided you would have.
Nine.
And also, has the committee developed any criteria or categories or whatever, or is it just looking at all the names and seeing who?
Well, we'll be looking at the applications and discussing them, looking at the experience, looking at diversity of representation that we want to see, geographic, communities of interest, all those kinds of things. And I think it's going to have to be somewhat subjective because that happens when you're trying to select appointments. But that's why we'd like to hear from as many people about them as possible.
And thirdly, there was a note on the list that went around that the full applications were available to be seen by legislators.
Kathy?
What is the process that...
I have copies, and if you'd like a set, I can make them for you.
Okay, thank you.
Peter?
Mike, do we have an ending time for that meeting?
I have an ending time because I have to be at a continuing legal education course at the library at noon, so I need to get over by then. So I would say by at least 11:45.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mike. Your resolution? Carol?
There's a name that I was aware of who I believe was submitted. Somebody has submitted an application that I don't see on this list.
Okay, can you check with Kathy afterwards about that, please?
Okay.
What list?
I had asked for a list.
There's a list of all the applications, the names of the people who submitted applications attached to your GO agenda.
Oh, okay, great.
I'd like to move Resolution D, appropriation from contingent fund, develop a smart work training program for Tompkins County Board of Elections and Assessment Department. I so move.
Is there a second? Dave seconds.
If I could just mention, this sets aside or takes some of the money we have set aside for the smart work program for these two departments. We heard presentations from Irene from the Assessment Department and from Jay from the, I'm sorry, Jay wasn't there, and from Steve DeWitt from the Board of Elections. The Assessment Department will be using this money to try to develop a better process for handling the property report sheets that it gets on every property transaction. Irene told us that there were at least 15 different times that paper has to be handled, and they're looking for a better way to speed that through computerization and other things. And in the Board of Elections, I think they're going to be looking at some of the data processing. Joe, what did Steve tell us?
I think they were more generalized. They're going to look at their systems generally.
Their systems in the whole over there.
Yep.
They have... fewer employees, and how they can better work on their databases.
Thank you, Mike. Any discussion? Dooley?
I know that we earmarked some amount of monies in the contingent fund for this, and these will be additional departments. I'm wondering how much is left in the earmarked amount.
Yeah, we put $40,000 aside in kind of soft earmark within the contingency this year. This would be the third drawn from this year. There were four from last year where we set aside 50. This will be three from this year's money. So that means we will have spent, when this is done, about $16,000 of the 40 we've set aside.
So there is still...
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The other question I had is because my memory isn't very good. In the second whereas in line 9, it talks about providing relief to employees. And the last time we had a resolution parallel to this, I think there was some additional language that was more felicitous than just saying provided relief to employees. But I can't remember what it was. And I wanted to ask whether staff could easily access that, and if it's easily found, did that language get added? I'm sorry, I don't know what it was, Mike.
Well, I'm a little reluctant to add something that we don't know what it was.
Well, I'm
there.
It would take a few minutes to find the resolution.
I really don't. It's not going to change the content of what we're doing here. I think there was time to do that kind of wordsmithing, but I think we're past that point.
Well, that's interesting, but I was out of town, too.
Any other discussion? All right, this short form roll call.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Anyone want to be recorded as no? That's unanimous. Thank you. All right, thank you, Mike. Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee, Pam McAsee, Chair.
Yes, thank you. The Planning Committee will be meeting tomorrow at 3:30 in the old jail.
Thank you. A question about that?
Not a question.
He's against it.
Yes, Ryan.
Your comment earlier about the TCAD coming to make a presentation, thanks, because some of us have been interested, as we mentioned at the meeting, about drawing those people in. So thank you for doing that.
Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis,
The meeting, there will be a meeting Monday afternoon at 3:30, and the county administrator will be there with his recommendation on the levy and other things. And let me report that on something I think you would be interested in, even though it's not a budget item. The Deputy Director of Intergovernmental Relations will personally deliver our fracking questions to the EPA Administrator Jackson and Secretary LaHood. And that's from our man in D.C., Nathan. And in further conversation, he has met and talked to the head of Medicaid, and she was a former Tompkins County employee early in her career.
Really?
I'm only reporting what I...
Can she cut us a deal?
I'm not making it up. Okay?
That
concludes my report.
All right. Thank you, Jim and Nathan. That's great. That's
constant contact, it's called.
All right. Public Safety Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
We had our meeting on last Monday. We had a busy meeting. We, in addition to hearing our usual reports and the jail statistics, we heard a presentation from OAR, the Office for,
Defender of Restoration.
No, that's what it used to be. It's got another name. I don't remember what it is. But
Opportunities on...
But whatever its name is, what it does is it provides essentially provides bail to indigent people in relatively small amounts for those who can't, and it provides certain services for prisoners that are in jail, and such as getting them to telephones and making appointments for assigned counsel and so on and so forth. There is an important message from them, namely that if you say that we didn't have that program of assigning bail to prisoners, that program, it costs us something to help prisoners make bail and to allow them to use our lending library of bail funds. On the other hand, if we didn't spend that cost, then it would cost us an enormously greater amount for the board outs that would result from them having to go to be in prison. We also heard a description of the, when it comes to this point, I can never remember anything, day reporting, and exactly what day reporting does. Eileen Summers took us through it, and that too is a relatively small expenditure, which we could eliminate, but it's quite possible that it may cost us far more than we say by eliminating it, if the judges don't have that program available to them to send prisoners into, they would have to send them into jail, at least some fraction of them, and that again would cost us a significant amount of money. It has a familiar ring to it. You can't eliminate my program because in the end you'll be paying more. But it isn't in the end. In this case, it isn't in the end. It isn't in future years. It's this year. This same budget will, in many cases, actually cost us more money than we would save by eliminating it. Another thing that we decided to do is to, the five of us, or I'm assuming that Brian's going to go along with us when he gets back, but the four of us who are members of the Public Safety Committee have committed ourselves to working with the budget simulator that Kevin just described, and that we would, by ourselves, each one working alone, with a trimmed-down version of the budget simulator, which only has those particular items that are in the purview of the committee, that we would look at ways of how would we eliminate programs if we decided that we were going to take our share of what it is expected that we will reduce the budget by. That was, I'm sorry, a mangled sentence, but I think you know what I'm saying. And the committee will do this and use it as a way of testing the utility of this particular instrument in making budget decisions, or possibly educating, see if we can find some common position of where we think is the right place to reduce money from in this budget. And I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to reporting back what we learned from that. And the last thing I'd like to say is that I've been continuing my education in the Public Safety Committee. And there's a lot of different parts to it, and it requires some time to try to understand them. And I've been wearing this sticker that practically all of you have come around and said, "Don't you want to take that sticker off?" And I said, "No," and you looked mystified. Well, that sticker is a hall pass to enable me to walk through the halls of the Truensburg Elementary School this afternoon from noon till 4 o'clock. And what I was doing was I was there understanding yet another program that we do in the county. And this program, again, I probably don't have the right acronym for it, but the short way it's described is pre-PINS. Namely, PINS are young people in need of supervision, where they typically are removed from their families who can't find that supervision and put in the supervision of foster homes or perhaps institutions. And these are young people who their parents can't control. Well, they don't get there from the cradle. These children go through, start off as sweet little babies that we all see and end up in various ways in making life decisions which send them into that program. And the pre-PINS program is when teachers attempt to identify those kids that are headed in a wrong direction, and we attempt by our probation officer to enter their lives and try to make corrections at a young age. Anyway, I sat through half a dozen meetings with young kids in elementary school and also kids in middle school who are heading in the wrong direction, and watched how our probation officer tries to steer them in the right direction. And it was a sobering experience. I learned a lot. Tomorrow morning I have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning because I'm going out to see what happens in the jails at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we'll continue that education.
Thank you very much, Peter. That sounds great. Will?
Yeah, Peter, I'm impressed that you're doing that. Thank you. And thanks for the report.
Stepping back earlier, though, in your committee report, you were talking about how the Public Safety Committee was going to take a chunk of the budget
that
are relevant to the committee and try to make cuts. And it occurs to me that that would be a reasonable thing for all committees to do, but different committees have different chunks of the budget in terms of total amounts. So I'm wondering, Joe, if there's some way to give a sense early on in terms of, like, you know, how much, what percentage of the totality each committee is essentially.
We could certainly, Frank's committee has the bulk of it.
Yeah.
We can excerpt those programs that relate to those committees, though. I mean, that's what we did with public safety.
Correct. But in terms of the total dollar amount, I guess, trying to imagine what would be, assuming we were trying to get to a targeted reduction, because it is unequal between committees. I'm just wondering, is there some guidance?
I'd have to get it. It's got to be at least half that's in Health and Human Services.
Okay.
And that's a guess.
So in other words, you kind of take the proportion that currently exists. That might be what, Peter?
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's what we're planning to do in this exercise, is simply take the projected percentage decrease in the local share for the county and apply that to the programs that are in the Public Safety Committee venue. You say 8% is the average for the whole county, then 8% for the public service.
I mean, I think it sounds like a very interesting exercise. Carolyn and Frank?
Yeah, it's possible that those bar graphs that were prepared during budget season the last 2 years that show the relative size of our various programs. Kevin would know what I was talking about. For this past year, for which there was a version prepared that showed mandated versus non-mandated services. So it's possible that the grouping that he did for that might serve the purpose.
Frank?
Thanks, Martha. I want to go back to something Carol said about 2 hours ago with regard to when Joe was walking us through that spread. These numbers are all preliminary, and it's a moving target at this point. These are our best guesses as they are now, but Carol was right. You know, as numbers get more refined and as we move through the year towards August, September, when we really have to get into playing with them, this just gives us a general idea of what the effect of moving anything around might be. And the Health and Human Services Committee, I mean, Joe and Will are absolutely right. We have about 70% of that number, the $152 million, is ours, and maybe even a little more than that. And until we get that DSS number Joe was talking about, this is a good exercise and it'll give you some idea, but I wouldn't want, and Martha's comment about what's the tax levy going to be, we have to take all that into consideration.
Well, public safety is going to be the guinea pigs on this, and you'll tell us how it worked, and there will be time before September that other committees could take a stab at it too. Thank you, Peter. Great report. Before Leslyn left, she said there was no report from Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thanks, Martha. I will keep my report to 25 minutes because that's the amount of time I need to make up to meet Peter's projection. The Health Committee will meet on the 11th. The official meeting is the 11th at 3:30. I just want to treat you to a couple of other announcements. Joe's already described next Tuesday's CHA meeting. We won't go through that again. That's the one that the Health Committee legislative members are invited to, but it's not a Health Committee meeting. That's at 4:30 up at, right now, scheduled for Rice. The special Health Committee meeting to discuss the CHA is the 19th, 519, at 3:30. And my understanding is that's also going to be at the Rice Conference Room. At this point, Karen will refine that bit because we anticipate that there will be a number of members from the legislature wanting to attend that. The health department ribbon-cutting ceremony went off very well. I think those that participated, in spite of the rain, we had a nice time up there, and I think the department staff really got behind that. And last item, Martha, about a week ago, there was an article in the Ithaca Journal, not attributable to Liz Lawyer. It was an op-ed piece that was a little, I went over it with Lisa Holmes, it was a little contentious about the pitting those that are considered youth against those that perhaps are baby boomers and senior citizens, about the percentage of funding that goes into both categories. And this particular writer was talking about the shift or the perceived need to shift the money from the seniors to the youth. And I think Lisa and I might be collaborating on a response to that article because it was not as balanced as perhaps it should be. If you have an opportunity, I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact day, but it was within the last week or 10 days in the journal's op-ed. That's it.
Thank you very much, Frank.
You're welcome.
I just want to clarify that the meeting with the panel for the CHA is at 4:30 on the 10th, is that right?
Correct.
Okay, at the health department.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, while you were out, we were talking about, is there a way to tape it? So.
No, I was near that.
Oh, okay. All right. So it may location may change. Sorry, Pam.
Did anybody have a chance to check with Jim about that?
Apparently not. We'll get to you all about the location. All right. Thank you very much. Minutes of the April 20th meeting. Can I get a motion? Frank moves. Will seconds. Carol?
Yeah, I'd just like it to be noted in the minutes that I find it quite difficult to prepare for meetings with the action, the version of the action only minutes without having an opportunity to really comment together on the notes. In particular, a meeting, and I'll add that, that's what I want noted, in particular, a meeting like tonight where we had very few resolutions. But I found very valuable, not quite all of our conversation, but an awful lot of it. And I have concerns that the public not look at what we've done and say, how could we have possibly spent 3 hours?
I think that's a good question.
I can't believe that anyone's watching.
Well, I think the GEO committee is going to get another whack at this because staff are weighing in. Right. Am I right? Is there an update on that?
Yes, we have a special meeting on minutes on the policy coming up.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So we have in front of us the minutes. Jim, something on the minutes?
No. Have we voted on the minutes?
No.
Gee, see how quick they forget.
Is there any other comment on the minutes? All in favor of the minutes as they are, please raise your hand. Opposed? One opposed, so that's, let's see, 11. So that's 10 to 1. They pass. Pam?
I would just like to put in the minutes, or wherever, that we had two resolutions tonight, and we were here for 3 hours and 15 minutes. And I just think that is showing very little self-discipline in terms of the amount that we talk. I really don't think it improves the quality of our legislation or improves the quality of life in Tompkins County to have a meeting that goes for 3 hours and 15 minutes with two resolutions.
Jim?
I pretty much agree with you, Pam. I just asked Mike when he was here his first time through the years, and I said, how long were your meetings? And sometimes the meetings were longer than this, and they may have had more resolutions, but I could have asked Frank the same thing. So, I agree with Pam in many respects that they get stretched out unnecessarily.
I would agree with that to some degree. I would say that tonight, actually, since the resolution, there was a short, since it was a short agenda, we felt relaxed about asking Michael and Heather a lot of questions, and we've been saying we wanted to know more about economic development. And this time spent on the budget simulator, yes, frankly, that saved all of us getting together for another meeting to be fully trained on this thing. We might still need coaching as we go through, but I think that was very important time spent, and it matters whether we waste the time or we use it well, as far as I am concerned, Jim.
Changing subject. There's a 25-year dinner coming up in May, and one of our own is being honored, and please try to make that if you possibly can. I believe that there's a health department meeting right before, but, we'll try. I definitely want to be at the 25-year dinner.
Thank you for that mention, Jim.
Ms. Covert needs our really close attention.
That's right. She's getting red. Can I have a motion to adjourn? All moved and seconded, all in favor. We are adjourned. Thank you all.